It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings, which now has a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino offers an endless number of casino games to play, all from the comfort of home. Right now, all first-time casino players can play up to $200 risk-free for the first 24 hours of casino play. You get plenty of options like slots and blackjack and roulette. All you need to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use promo code KSN. You get to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games in your first 24 hours. That's promo code KSN. Play risk-free up to $200 in your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I am Jim Galante. He is Greg Pickle. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. And Greg, we've got so much news about this upcoming season and a lot with the off-season workouts, players coming back to campus. Let's start with that. This week, players are back on campus and will be starting their workouts next Monday, which is June 15th. That's fantastic news, right?
Jim, I don't know what better news we could ask for at this point. 75 players, or at least we think it's 75 players. One thing that's been a tiny bit frustrating about this on the Penn State end of things, and look, they've been great to us this offseason with terms of getting us coaches and players and letting us use that as a way to continue to tell this team's stories and interact with fans, readers, listeners, whatever, you know, throughout this whole shutdown and everything. So I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but we don't really have as much information as some other places have. You know, are these players allowed, you know, anywhere near the Lash building, or do they have to quarantine in their dorm or apartment until next week? We think that's what's going on. We don't know for sure. When are the coaches coming back? I do not believe that they are back on campus yet, but they will be soon enough. So that's something to keep an eye out for at this point in time. When will James Franklin and his staff get back? And then, you know, who are the 75 players that got back a while? You know, if you chop off, you know, you can kind of assume that some of the top stars would be among the first wave back, but you wouldn't necessarily be able to fit everyone. I don't think that you would like to have back on campus. At some point, you got to cut down on at least 10 scholarship guys, if not more, who can't come back in this first wave. So, you know, we don't have all those details yet. I'm sure we'll get them in the days to come, and we'll be able to glean more about what's happening at University Park within a week or two. But for right now, you know, these guys are back in some capacity. They'll be back in an even better and bigger capacity next week when the healthy ones can start to work out again. And it's obviously a good sign, Jim. It's another indication that things are not just going to happen in terms of college football, but it looks like they'll happen on time. And who knows, maybe we could even see some fans inside the the stadiums, maybe not a full stadium, but at least some in at this point in time.
First, let's go back to that 75 number. I didn't know if it was like some kind of limiting number that they wanted to use, or if it was 75 based on there were freshmen who were not enrolled yet, so they weren't counted in that number.
Yes, and I wish I had that answer for you, Jim. I don't have it, unfortunately. You know, they haven't said how that 75 number was going to break up. We don't even know that, you know, we don't even know why 75 was picked. You know, what was the reasoning behind 75? Why not 70? Why not 80? Why not 90? Why not 50? So, you know, again, we haven't had all of the information given to us that we need at this point in time to have a good feel for, you know, for that and for, you know, who exactly is back on campus. But look, once workouts start, and things like that. I think we'll find out pretty quickly who the guys are that are back in town. And, you know, again, whether it's all the stars, some of the stars, you know, however they decided to make this selection for 75, it's a step in the right direction, and it probably won't be long before the rest of the team is in town too.
Well, you know, looking at the incoming freshman class, there were several that were enrolled, but that was a big class. There were like about 27 of them. And I'm assuming that they're, and I'm looking at my list of freshmen, and there's at least 10 of them that hadn't enrolled yet. So who knows? That might be why that number is at 75. Next, well, first of all, Greg, what does that mean that they're allowed to do voluntary workouts? Does that mean they're in the weight room? Does that mean Sean Clifford, you know, on a field throwing to his receivers? What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think that as long as the coaching staff does not direct these things, they're pretty much fair game as far as I know. If the guys want to go out and play 7-on-7, they should be able to do that. Now, Penn State might say, look, you have to stay within your group of workout buddies. So if they're bringing, let's just say, for the sake of a round number, 10 guys in to work out together at a time, you know, you probably are probably going to have to stick with those 10 guys for the foreseeable future and work out with those guys, whether it's in the weight room, out on the practice field, etc. Because I think that's kind of the goal here, to keep your small groups together for now. And that way, if, you know, someone does get sick, you can know which 10 guys you need to quarantine, and there's not really a bunch of guessing, and that number doesn't balloon to 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, what have you. So, but pretty much anything is fair game. When they're in the weight room, Dwight Galt and his staff are allowed to be there, of course, for safety reasons. You know, somebody has to be there to supervise and make sure things are being done properly and in a healthy way, and I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. So they'll be there, but the coaching staff cannot be there. Coaching staff is not supposed to receive reports about how these things are going. Now, look, I think every school in the country probably tiptoes around that rule a little bit. So if Penn State's not an exception to that, you know, we'll never know about it. But yeah, at the end of the day, it does seem like what they can do is pretty much anything that the players decide to do on their own accord without any direction from the coaching staff or anybody else within the program.
And if they're grouping players, it would then make sense to say group the quarterbacks with the receivers. So they may work out in the weight room together, then do their drills together out on the field, I would assume. Let's talk. The NCAA also just put out, or it was reported, they have a 6-week plan for teams that still needs final approval, but it seems like one of those things where it'll be rubber stamped. So there's actual dates attached to this where over a 6-week span, these are the dates and this is what's going to happen on those particular dates. Do you have information on that, Greg?
Yes. So let me just run it down to you like this. So voluntary workouts and virtual 8 hours of instructions per week in a virtual setting can be underway now. And then they're looking at around the middle of July, Jim, for that to go from voluntary workouts to mandatory workouts, which would be, you know, your whole team would have to be back on campus by then. So then we're looking at late July when you can start doing walkthroughs with a ball, but without pads. You can't hit things like that. And then you're looking at around August 7th, Jim, the first week of August, you're looking at when preseason camp can begin. So it's a pretty good plan. It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's a little bit, I think, shorter than, you know, Sandy Barber had said 60 days, and a lot of people chided her when she said that, but she actually turned out to be pretty much right on the money in terms of 60 days to kind of ramp all of this up. Now, look, obviously, there's going to be different phases to this, right? So right now you have voluntary, then you have the mandatory workouts. And the mandatory workouts, the way I understand it, are just you being able to basically get your whole team back on campus and you can tell the guys when to be there, when not to be there. I think the coaches can have a little bit of input, etc. So that's the change there. And then once you get to your walkthrough period at the end of July, that essentially the goal of that, Jim, is going to be to try and recreate some of what was lost during spring ball. So, you know, again, you can't put the pads on, you You can't have guys hitting each other. You can't be doing the Lion's Den drill or anything like that. But you can be working on some of these things that, you know, Kirk Soraka and Brent Pry need to emphasize in person on the field, where they can move guys to where they actually should be or need to be on the field. So that's going to be a big deal, I think. And it looks like the NCAA has been willing to listen to the input of coaches and administrators and health science and sports science folks to make sure that they make up as much ground as possible with the closures that obviously impacted things earlier this year.
Well, how does this differ from a normal year? Now, I know they all missed the spring, but as we're going into this late summer and fall, do these dates differ at all from what they would be in a normal year?
So here's the biggest change. No, not particularly. I would have to look a little bit more in depth, Jim, to see what exactly this voluntary versus mandatory workout thing, if that has anything of significance. My understanding was everything was voluntary up until the start of summer camp before. I didn't know that there was a difference between voluntary and mandatory workouts previously. So we'll have to check into that. But this whole idea of having walkthroughs 14 days before camp starts, that's new. And that is, again, built in to try and recreate some of what was lost with no spring practice. So I think what you're seeing there is the NCAA recognizing that its member programs are going to need some time to make up for some of what they lost during spring ball. And, you know, we've heard Kirk Soraka say that you can do a lot of things virtually. You can do a lot of things with quote unquote classroom time. But one thing you're not going to be able to do all that easily is recreate that feel a guy gets when a coach corrects a mistake out on the field in real time while his body is feeling what that mistake was and where he should have been. So that is definitely a difference. But the start of summer camp is pretty much right on course, right? So Big Ten media days typically are held in you know, late July. Those are not being held in person this year. I guess they could be held virtually, potentially. No word yet from the Big Ten on that. But, you know, usually Big Ten media days happen, and then the following week camp starts. So that part of things is pretty much right on time at this point.
Well, I would think if this added 2 weeks of starting in late July where they could be on the field, not pads, but do walkthroughs, for a team like Penn State with a new offensive coordinator, that would seem particularly critical.
Yes, no question about it. You're going to want every opportunity you can get to get these guys on the field, get around them, have them, again, learn from Kirk Soraka, learn from Taylor Stubblefield on the other side of the ball, John Scott Jr., and let's not forget Phil Troutwine, too. Every moment counts when it comes to getting those guys to teach these players on the field and in person before kickoff.
Fantastic, Greg. All right, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around, and quarter number three, we're going to ask Greg.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com. to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a mobile casino in Pennsylvania. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino app and use code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 of casino games for your first 24 hours. That's code KSN to play risk-free up to $200 for your first 24 hours of casino play on DraftKings Sportsbook and Casino. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, in partnership with Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.